Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
Happy Halloween, trick-or-treaters, dreamers, campers, and suspects. What you're about to hear is a clip from our exclusive Patreon episode in which we discuss 1983's Sleepaway Camp. Well, wasn't that nice of us, How do you hear the full thing? Become a member of our Patreon, The Rewind. You can find a link in the description of this episode, or you can visit patreon.com/Halloweeniespod. Hope to see you there so we can give you one more scare.
No, but when you talk about the villainization of Angela, like, I don't think she's truly a villain, though, because something I noticed watching it was that everybody who gets it deserves it. And they're not making fun of her, terrorizing her because she's trans. It's just because that's how kids are, and she's a little strange, she's a little quiet. But, like, everybody who gets it deserves what they get from her.
And I think that's why there's been this reappraisal, like, down the line. And I see people going, well, like, you know, all these awful people in this movie. Because now, especially when you look at a lot of the actions of the kids in the movie, especially, you know, what's his name? The guy, the Angela's love interest in the movie. Who's, like, constantly, like, being a total asshole and, like, Paul, right?
Yeah,
like,
Paul
kind of forces himself on her a couple times in a way, and just, like, really shitty when she doesn't, you know, reciprocate. And it's, and, like, now looking back, you're like, oh yeah, all these people, you know, get what's coming to them, and you're, like, rooting for Angela, you know. But I don't know, it's still, like, watching it, and I'm like, I'm pulling themes and things from it as an adult and as a human being that's watched, like, 10 billion movies. That, and I'm trying to, like, make sense of it and be like, okay, well, if you look at it like this, then this. But, you know, is that a win for the movie, you know, or is that a,
well, and know? I think that's the biggest problem, you know, and that's one of the key issues with most of representation with trans culture and any marginalized cultures, to be honest with you, is that, you know, so much of that hasn't been represented on screen. And so when it is represented on screen, you have something like this, where it's such a sensationalized caricature that is not only divisive, but it's first off narratively all over the place. But then, you know, the optics of that revelation, there's so much more collateral damage that exceeds outside of the film than, say, some simple revelation. Because, you know, like you're saying, when you saw it younger, you had no idea about, you know, this culture, right? And you just think about it applied to, you know, everyone else. And if that's the first thing, it's troubling.
Yeah. I had an interesting experience last night. I was with a friend and I was talking about how I was going to be talking about Sleepaway Camp, and he hadn't seen the picture. He brought me to one of the many post J.K. Rowling article, like TERF article, visual essays discussing trans tropes, and specifically the psychopathic transsexual trope and other things like that. And eventually I was just like, I live this stuff, like, pretty regularly. I work with media and I talk about horror and transness and all this stuff. So, but I was just like, I was so done with it, because a sort of turn of phrase, like, came to me that hadn't really landed before. Like, this stuff, this media, like Ace Ventura and everything else that, like, made the reaction to, like, someone having kissed a trans person, like, and realizing, oh no, I kissed a boy who is a girl, and then they vomit immediately, or like scrape their tongue with their hand or something. Like, and watching all of those things in succession, I was like, this was my prison. This media was my prison that made sure that I stayed in the ivory tower of having been assigned male at birth. And having things like Sleepaway Camp out there further confusing the message and actually distilling the kind of dreamlike horror of, like, one thing I can give this film credit for is it, to me, feels like a very visceral personification of trans panic. This is the confused heterosexual viewpoint on what can seem, if you're living entirely within the white cis hetero patriarchy, this will be the experience of realizing, like, wait, a woman has a penis. My brain, all of reality suddenly falling apart because of this one thing.
Well, and to that, I was going to say, so even as a kid watching this, I because of the nature of the movie and because it's so low budget and like just kind of crap, you know, like when I'm watching it next to like other, all these other slasher flicks, I didn't take this as like the end all be all. I mean, it was probably my first introduction to this, and it is absolutely, like you were saying, the way that they frame it at the end, especially that last moment, it, you know, they frame it as this terrifying thing. And, but I remember it definitely opened up a lot of questions for me because that never get answered, like you said. And I was always just like, I was like, okay, I got to get other people's takes on this, because this is not the take, you know. It didn't seem like it was like the end all be all, like the word, like this is gospel. Yeah. Like this is like Sleepaway Camp. This is the depiction of this. This is how it really is, kind of thing. But I could see a lot of people having that, you know. And like you were saying with Ace Ventura and all these things that I grew up with, I mean, that really was like the only time that I was, you know, came across, you know, trans anything, you know, like it was always like a deception, or like they didn't know. And then you find out, it was never just like someone like out and about that had it, because obviously at the time that was not, you know, cool.
Yeah, or not, like, you know, okay. Not the least bit sympathetic.
I mean, that's especially if you're going by the sort of the representation in mainstream pop culture. I mean, it's really hard pre-2000 to kind of be able to single out, like, you know, representation that comes from an actual natural real place that doesn't seem so sensationalized and stigmatized, you know. And it's like, even right now, racking my brain, it's like I'm trying to think of like examples that are counter to that. And you know, there's Boys Don't Cry, but even then, that's a narrative that's dealt in, like, you know, tragedy. You know,
the tragedy thing was always for comic relief purposes, or, you know, you talk about the psychopathic character, or tragedy. You never just saw this is just it. This is just the character.
So as a counterpoint, I've seen a lot of trans folks posting op-eds about Sleepaway Camp where they are claiming it as like a trans revenge fantasy.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform, or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories, if you're brave enough.